And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
What's up, everybody? Thursday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. We're moving along here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Pete Jensen, Nick Alberga back with you, reacting off some of the first few games of these different series in the East and the West. Nick, what's going on, man? What's your biggest surprise so far?
Yeah, not too much. I feel like the Stanley Cup playoffs have already been like 3 weeks long. It's felt that way, but we're only three nights into the postseason. Biggest surprise, Pete, has to be the Washington Capitals, right? The expectation that Florida was going to go into that series, just steamroll and move on around two, and it really hasn't been that case thus far, has it?
No, it hasn't. I would say I'm surprised but not shocked at that result. Again, it's only one game, but we were talking about how the Caps are grizzled. They could win any game, any given game, home or road. So that's how it materialized. And, you know, my picks didn't do so well on Monday outside of the Carolina game, where Carolina has just steamrolled the Boston Bruins all season long, and it's carried over to the playoffs. But yeah, when you look at the Florida Panthers, we were talking about pressure, right, Nick? They have to win game two. It's not technically a must-win game, but for all their expectations and all the eggs that that team has laid in big home games over the years with big crowds, they got to take care of business here in game two.
Hey, something I've been on for a while, and I put this out before game one, the Panthers seem to be surrendering the first goal of the game. That's 14 in the last 21. So listen up, because wow, the opposite's going to happen tonight. No, I think the Panthers are going to find a way here. You know, it was bound to happen. We'll say that. The Capitals, as you mentioned, a seasoned team, I think, rearing to go in that series. And the Cats just didn't have their game, you know, from special teams and all that, too.
Tried and true all season long. Panthers puck line. Panthers puck line. They're big favorites tonight, and I would take them on the puck line. Full on response at home. Sunrise, Florida. I believe they win big tonight.
Bobby Puckline, that's been a story and narrative throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs, because you guys know I've been monitoring this type of stuff. 8 of the 12 games, Pete, have been blowouts, which means they've been won by more than one goal, right?
Yeah, I mean, the most exciting game by far was the Ranger-Penguin overtime game. Even when we were in, you know, the second and third periods of that game, there were so many different storylines and momentum swings. I mean, that was just an awesome game. And then, of course, yeah, I mean, Florida had the lead on the Capitals, and then there was that key play where Ovechkin kind of broke up the play and pushed it ahead to Kuznetsov. And that's when I texted you, Nick, right? Like, regardless of how Bobrovsky was playing in that game to that point, once in a blue moon, they're going to need Bobrovsky to steal a big save. And he didn't do it in that moment. I texted you about it. And then soon after, the wheels fell off a little bit, right? So again, we're going to go back to this crutch, go back to this kind of, you know, kryptonite situation where Sergei Bobrovsky is the weak link of the team in the biggest moments, I think.
I don't love the fact that Pete is texting Nick. We usually have a group text going, where am I? Left off? I'm going to chop liver.
Ghosted.
Again,
huh? Ghosted, my dude. Pete, I'm happy you brought that up. I am dedicating today's podcasting to goaltending in general, and we will get to my guy, Louis Domingue, who loves his spicy pork and broccoli. Not the best, right? Andrei Vasilevsky. Like, this statistic, guys, is absurd to me. The fact that he's now posted a 15-0 record, a 1.31, 948 and five shutouts following a loss in the three Stanley Cup playoffs. For anybody who knows me, they know and knew I loved Mariano Rivera. This guy's the closest thing to Mariano Rivera in hockey. Like, talk about a shutdown dude, a closer who you know you can rely on. I can't say the same about Bobrovsky and the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, we all know that it's essential to have a top-tier goalie in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We saw it last year with Carey Price, but of course, Vasilevsky's even better. Unfortunately, the Rangers couldn't reward Shesterkin for that magnificent performance with 79 saves. But yeah, Vasilevsky is just out of this world in terms of bouncing back when the Lightning seem to be out of answers. He's the answer for that team. So it's been really a marvel to watch that guy in his whole career. I think what he's done in his whole career, he's one of the best goalies, not only of this generation, but of all time, with now having the two Stanley Cup titles back to back and what he's doing so far this year, except for that blip on the radar. But it's almost like it doesn't matter how bad one game is, right? Even in the regular season, we were talking about how he was a dud to start the fantasy playoffs. And then all of a sudden he finished pretty strong and the Lightning turned it on over the final week or so.
And it's more so the timeliness. Like you just mentioned Sergei Bobrovsky, they need that save. You know, Tampa's always going to get that save. Like the one that comes to mind in game two is a save on Liljegren in the slot. And I think the first 15 of the minutes of that game, the Leafs are sort of all over Tampa again. And you wondered if this is going to be a repeat performance of game one. And Vasilevskiy said, no, no, no. Like he did his best Dikembe Mutombo. He's like, this is not happening. And I know this is seldom and it's rare that you find a goalie this good. And I totally agree with you. I think once his career is done, I think he goes down as one of the best ever. You need your guy, your top guy, to make that save to keep you in a series. Because quite frankly, I think if Tampa loses game two, it's over. And it's easy said than done. But they need that save. And there's a lot of teams in the conversation for that save that are not getting that save.
That's totally true. And we saw like Jack Campbell make some big saves in game one. But in game two for the Maple Leafs, I mean, they gave the Lightning seven power play opportunities. Have you watched the Tampa Bay Lightning play hockey in the playoffs over the past couple of years? I mean, if you give them like three power play opportunities in a game, they'll burn you almost every single time. But that tilted the scale a little bit. Leafs went 0-for-4 on the power play. But my biggest surprise from the first night was the fashion that the Leafs beat the Lightning.
Yeah.
But I feel like they maybe took their foot off the pedal a little bit in game two. What's your pulse on the Maple Leafs? Can they actually take this series? Because to me, they're going to have to do what they did in game one multiple times, like pull off a stunner to actually finish off Tampa Bay.
It's going seven. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. Like, you know, the most fascinating thing about any postseason, guys, is just the classic overreaction to one win or one loss either way, right? Because the conversation in Toronto, they're winning the Stanley Cup. They win the first game. Second game, they get blown out. Their doors are knocked out by the two-time defending cup champs. Season's over, right? I think you got to find a nice line in between. You can only imagine what these teams are going through on a daily and a nightly basis, right? I think the Leafs obviously have a legitimate shot in this series. I think they have to find a way to get John Tavares going. William Nylander hasn't scored in this series. Like, there's a lot of positives to grab. I think Tampa did their job by grabbing one of two here, at least in Toronto. Now, I think it's the Maple Leafs' chance and opportunity to do the same in Tampa. But as Bobby just mentioned, I from the get-go, I expected Pete this series to go seven, and I still feel that way. How about you?
Yeah, I think six or seven. I think that the Maple Leafs really have to be on the ball here because we've seen it in the past where the Lightning could have a really tight series with someone and still finish them off in five games. So the Leafs have to be very careful. They're going to have to steal one in Tampa, which is doable. I mean, Tampa's a good home team, but they're beatable down there. So yeah, I think they just have to, you know, eye on the prize, not get too high with the highs or low with the lows. And like you said, get it to game seven, you'd have it at home, and then you're really talking there and maybe you break the curse a little bit.
It's funny, Pete, you know, we mentioned in our preview shows about how many goalies would be used in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and just 3 days in, we're at 19. Four shutouts, by the way, and I mentioned 8 of 12 games have been blowouts. But what's been your assessment of what we've seen? Obviously, the most volatile position in hockey right now, guys, but look at what happened in Pittsburgh and look at Carolina. Pyotr Kochetkov, one of the best names in hockey right now. The dude doesn't even speak English. They were talking about Andrei Svechnikov having to be translator on the bench. I thought he was marvelous, and so was my guy Louis Domingue in Pittsburgh, or for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's a cool way to spell Peter. I might have to use that sometime. But anyway, yeah, I think Kochetkov still undefeated in his young NHL career. Admirable what he's done with Freddie injured and then Ranta. We know that Ranta is an injury risk, right? The guy's been one of the most efficient goalies over the past 6 or 7 years in the whole league when he's healthy, whether it was with the Rangers or the Coyotes or, of course, now with the Canes in a much better system. But yeah, you can't rely on Ranta to be fully healthy for an extended stretch. I'm still a little reluctant. Like I saw the odds on one platform have the Hurricanes most likely to come out of the East now. I mean, I wonder if that's a little overreaction because the series is going back to Boston. Boston, I think, showed a little pulse at the end of game two and time kind of ran out on them a little bit. But, you know, I wouldn't count out the Bruins to hold serve at home. And if they do, then all of a sudden the tide could turn and Carolina could be without one of their top two goalies in the crunch time of the series. So Carolina's got to win game three on the road and separate itself completely. But they've completely dominated the season series, man.
Yeah, they have. And what's the old saying? You're not in trouble in a series so you lose a game on home ice. But I can't overlook the statistic that Carolina's now outscored Boston 26-4 this season. And the Canes, to your point, have two goalies who don't want to play in the Stanley Cup playoffs and Freddie Anderson and Antti Raanta. I don't want to completely run down Raanta, Pete, but come on, man. Like, do you want to play? Do you want to be in the game? This guy's always hurt. This guy's always hurt. I'm sorry to say it. It's disappointing for any team he plays for. And I just want to see him in there. I think he's a good goalie. And then the sad part about it was Raanta was off to a fantastic start in the series, but good on Kochetkov. That's a tough spot to be in, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's amazing that, like you said, two different teams are on their third stringer right now with Jari injured and DeSmith left during one of the overtimes and Louis Domingue perfect in the third overtime. Right. So that's amazing stuff for him. He's come a long way in his career from being like a perennial backup. But I mean, what is the state of play for the Penguins? Because the Rangers have bounce back appeal. And I feel like we'll find everything we need to know about the future of this series from the first and second periods of game number two, right, Nick?
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. Like, I'll just put it this way. If the Rangers don't win game two, I think they're in trouble. Their season's in trouble. With the due respect, of course, to Louis Domingue, he's beatable. I gave him full props for what he did there in game one. You come in, especially the way Casey DeSmith was playing in that game, 48 saves. You make 17 consecutive saves. You admit that you're eating spicy pork and broccoli in the intermissions. Like, it was an insane story. I love the interview with Emily Kaplan too, but the fact that he came in there, got the saves and got the job done was impressive. But I think the Rangers win in this one, Bob.
Yes. And they are going to be a part of a parlay that I'm cooking up. I'll tell you guys later what the parlay of the night is, but I have to say this to all the Rangers fans, enough with the crying, enough with the, you know, should have been a goal, bad call. And MSG, please, quiet. Could have heard a pin drop the other night in like double overtime. I know there's tension, but the garden there was a little disappointing. As a New Yorker, I thought the garden's atmosphere was a little too tame for me, if I'm being honest.
I liked the response from Pittsburgh's depth kind of guys, right? Like Malkin, big performance. Raquel went down with an injury, and then Kapanen was just buzzing the whole game. He had 8 shots on goal. Probably get some good looks on a Kapanen shots on goal prop to follow along in Meanie's footsteps, of course. But like, yeah, I was impressed by Pittsburgh. They were kind of like, you know, I kind of overlooked them a little bit in the series. I thought maybe the Rangers could win it in 5 or 6, but that series feels like Pittsburgh in any given game is going to just try to keep extending the game as long as they can. And the longer it goes, it favors Crosby, Malkin, Letang, because those guys have been there and done it so many different times.
And you know what? Listen, I'll have the Rangers in a parlay, but in all honesty, I'm rooting for Louis Domingue tonight. I want to see Louis Domingue just absolutely frustrate this New York Rangers team and have the fans crying and let the story really become like a Disney story. I mean, you'll have Louis Domingue, you know, thrown into this situation. They're up 2-0. I will be rooting hard for Louis tonight at MSG.
I will say he's come a long way since I did a show on another platform, but we routinely called him Pooey Domingue, guys. So he's come a long way. I would still favor the over in that game, by the way, with the Rangers and Pittsburgh. It's going to be 5.5, but I have zero faith in Louis Domingue. I'll say that right now. The other thing I wanted to bring up is just the gamers of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Like, again, the resume, the track record speaks for itself, Pete. Gensel was tremendous. This guy's a playoff performer. Brian Rust scores a goal. Sidney Crosby. They talked about his tenacity on the broadcast. Like, you're in triple OT and he's still hounding you on the back. Like, it's nuts. And then who else scores the OT winner, right? Like, Evgeny Malkin comes in. What a tip. And that's it. And I don't know what it is with these goalies who make a billion saves in a game. They always end up losing, right? Jonas Korpisalo with Columbus. Now Shesty makes 79. How do you lose a game when you make 79 saves? Like, it's incredible.
I know. And I mean, like, the Rangers scored on their only power play chance. They rely on the power play, I think, because they're not a great puck possession, even strength team. We all know that by now. They rely on Shesterkin a lot. He delivered. I mean, you couldn't have asked any more from him in a million years. But yeah, I think, like, when you look at this Penguins roster, the way they've been built, clearly they're a win now team. They got some nice size. Like they got Carter on the third line. They got Malkin on the second line. Of course, Crosby's a beast and Brian Boyle, right? So like you have some real size and tenacity, like you said, Nick. So yeah, I was kind of impressed by like a rejuvenated Penguins team. They did not look great down the stretch. I loved them about 2 months ago. And that's how I'm starting to warm up to Pittsburgh after that first game.
Okay, listen, I'm all about looking back and analyzing what the past is. It's a four-game slate tonight on a Thursday. No NBA on the board. You know, it's hockey up and down tonight. And we'll spin it forward. Nick, tell the listeners what you're doing on Sportsnet with the props too, by the way. And if you have any up your sleeve here for tonight.
I could. You'll have to wait for later today when that drops. No, I'm putting out some prop pieces on a daily basis for Sportsnet.ca, just looking at certain props of the given night in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm really looking forward to this Nashville-Colorado game, guys. I feel like I had a little prayer circle the other night on social media for the Nashville Predators, Pete. I don't know how the line in this game is still at 6.5 because I would be hammering that. I don't care who starts. The mascot, I think his name's Nash, for the Predators can start in this game. It's hitting over 6.5. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, we were joking, right, Nick, about how Dave Satriano was in the building for the Ranger Penguin game, and they may have had to turn to the goalie master. But yeah, Nashville's kind of out of answers as long as Saros is out. So that may very well be a very quick series. We felt bad for Riddick the other day, but hey, it's the Stanley Cup playoffs. You either come to bat or you get dismissed pretty quickly, especially you're playing a team of Colorado's caliber. But yeah, in terms of shot props, point props, it's scattered throughout that Avalanche lineup. They got Gabriel Landeskog back. I mean, the rich get richer, right, Nick? It's a crazy roster that they've built. As long as the Avs are healthy with Kadri not suspended, it's going to be a very, very difficult team to beat 4 out of 7 times.
So I'll tell you what I'm looking at. I am looking at Nazem Kadri over a half an assist in this game. I think that's happening. I think if you're looking for a bit extra juice, maybe look at the power play because, yeah, they're going to get some power plays in that game. Considering we've had 104 total power plays in 12 games, it's safe to say that. Jonathan Huberdeau over 1.5. I'm looking at that. 0 points in game one. I crunched the numbers, guys. He was held pointless just 13 times in 81 regular season games, which means I think a monster effort coming that way. I'd also look at a Panarin anytime goal. Like, I think you have to be cheeky this time of year. I think you have to look at statistics. I almost got Brad Marchand. He had a couple chances. But you got to look at those cheeky anytime goals, Bobby.
I like the Panarin play because I think he's got to shoot the puck at the net a little bit more. He's got to be selfish here tonight. I mean, That was the difference between the Penguins and the Rangers. I thought the Penguins put the puck on net and the Rangers were getting a little too cute. And Panarin, I know he wants to set up his other players, but can you fire the puck at the net? And I would expect the goal tonight as well.
You know, it's funny you make that point and bring that up because it just seems like there's a sag. And it's so weird. Anytime a team puts in a backup goalie or an e-bug goalie, there seems to be a sag. You know what I mean? Like this even dates back to the David Ayers game where I was there, where it's like Toronto, it's like playing beer league hockey and you know you're playing a terrible goalie and you're like, you know what? We're going to be pretty. Teams get pretty, Pete, and it makes no sense because that's the first thing I thought of. Louis Domingue comes in the game, shoot the puck from everywhere, and the Rangers are passing it around and passing it around.
I was wondering during this game because, you know, not to say Mika Zibanejad's a little overmatched in this particular matchup, but he doesn't seem to be playing to his strengths, of course, on a separate line from Panarin. And, you know, Kreider is, of course, a gem. He scored that, a shorthanded goal. I mean, he's a stud. He's going to clean up in front of the net any chance he gets. But I just wonder if, like, Mika Zibanejad's upside could get canceled out in this series by Crosby and Malkin. What do you think about that?
There's a possibility of that, certainly. I think when you have two future Hall of Famers, the way they played, especially in game one, especially Crosby, I thought was just so dynamic. It's like a switch is flipped come the Stanley Cup playoffs. I do expect a better effort offensively. Like we just talked about it. I think similar to the game plan, and Pete, we talked about it going into that series. Did I not say that Pittsburgh's going to try to throw everything but the kitchen sink at Igor Shesterkin? I think that has to be the game plan. Like, I think you throw it back in the face of the Pittsburgh Penguins where you just start throwing everything on that, especially knowing Louis Domingue. And last we heard, guys, he'll start game 2. I'm throwing it from everywhere. And that any player on that roster, Ryan Strome, I thought the kids had a good game, and Lafreniere and Kakko. Like, I think there's a lot of positives to build off. I know the Rangers lose that game. I know it hurts to lose in triple OT. I know that call hurts as well. You got to find a way to get this job done in game two here tonight.
Again, I expect the Rangers to win. I'm going to pair them with the Calgary Flames. I don't know what the price is on the parlay. I think the Flames are going to completely outclass Dallas. I think that the Flames, it's just a bad matchup for Dallas the way I see it. I just think Calgary is poised here to just shut down Dallas. They just don't have enough offense. I'll pair the two. I expect the Rangers to win. However, I am rooting for Louis so hard for him to have a, isn't that crazy? I have a bet on the Rangers, right? Say I, you know, do the parlay, but I'm going to be betting for the storylines, because that's what we do in content. We root for the storylines, Peter.
No, we do. And it's going to be a great atmosphere once again. Good to see playoff hockey back at the Garden, first time since like 2017 or something like that. It's even longer than it feels like, but it felt like pretty long. And then, yeah, I mean, with Calgary, I was impressed that they were able to shut out Dallas, even though Rasmus Anderson got thrown out of the game and only played 8 minutes. So I mean, he's a top pair defenseman for that team. So they really locked it down. They got their production that they needed from the top liners, and Calgary's sitting pretty right now. A lot can change, of course, if Dallas responds here, but you know, I think Calgary is maybe looking ahead, and they have the luxury to do so because of the depth that they have and the system that they play in under Sutter.
I'll let Nick comment on Calgary, but also let's circle back here and talk about Ville Husso's game two performance with the Minnesota and the Blues series. And then let's not forget the other series. What am I missing here? What's the other series I'm missing? Oh, the Oilers, of course, responding in game two, which they needed to respond. There was a lot of pressure, similar to what Florida and the Rangers are facing tonight.
I'll cover Alberta. I thought that Flames victory was elementary. It was Daryl Sutter's version of hockey porn, quite frankly. Like, he loved that. Jacob Markstrom made 16 saves. I said, get this guy a book for game two, by the way. Like, that was a picture perfect game for Daryl Sutter. You like that, eh? Hockey porn. And then the other thing, Edmonton. So some people out there, I'm sure, went back to the well of the Oilers puck line. Congratulations to you today, because it was some sweaty times. Like, that was so Edmonton in game one, but that was a theme to me so far too, guys. Response, right? We saw that from Tampa, we saw from Minnesota, and we saw from the Oilers, Pete.
Yeah, and we saw a huge performance from Evander Kane in game two, and that's that layer we've been talking about, how things could be different. You know, maybe in a previous year, if they didn't have Evander Kane, they would have had another stinker or something and fallen down and out in the series. But instead, they have a difference maker in the top six forward group with his physicality. And yeah, it's just been nice to see him get his career back on track after everything that was going on just a few months ago. It's night and day right now. And Evander Kane is playing with some of the best players in the game and making the Oilers a dangerous team if they hit their peak at the right time. We know Calgary would be favored in a series like that, not to look ahead, but it's something where, you know, rivals and, you know, they bring out the physicality in a series, and, you know, you kind of get the best out of how you can, you know, manage your temper and stuff in big game series like that.
For the record, I still have zero faith, Bobby, in the Edmonton Oilers. I'm sorry.
I mean, long-term?
Yes. Just in life.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, you have Mike Smith in goal. How could you have any faith in the guy? I mean, sorry, I know he had a nice little bounce back in game two, but he's still Mike Smith. And I sent him out to pasture, I don't know, Pete, 2 years ago. Somehow he still has a job and is still performing at a decent level. But when the chips are down and you need your goalie to get a stop, Mike Smith is not the guy I'm turning to.
Sorry. Hey, Bob, I'll just say at least Mike Smith plays, unlike my boy Antti Raanta. Again, I don't want to run him down, but just get out there, please.
You're right. He never plays.
Yeah. It's tough. The Oilers roster is flawed. Their ceiling is capped. This team's not going to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, that will rule that out right now. If they prove me wrong, I'll be happy to say congratulations. You have two of the best players in the world and you finally won the Stanley Cup with them. But again, the supporting cast, Evander Kane here and there, Yamamoto here and there, Zach Hyman here and there. There's just not the consistency. I love Evan Bouchard and what he's doing, playing a bigger role day after day, it seems, with his career progression. But I just feel like the ceiling is capped for this team. Even if they did pull off like a stunner in the second round, like they probably wouldn't go much further than that.
Yeah, like the only thing I would add, and Bobby, I know you want to step in. The only thing I would add, guys, is you have two incredible players in McDavid and Drysdale. And I think through the first two specifically, McDavid's been pretty damn good. Where they're so good, Bob, that I think they can take a team to the next level with mediocre goaltending.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it's the depth scoring and it's the goaltending for the Oilers. So we'll see what happens there. Listen, four sizable favorites tonight on Thursday. Mm-hmm. I don't see personally where an upset is going to happen. Maybe I would lean to Pittsburgh. I just don't think Nashville can figure it out. And maybe Dallas. I really don't think Dallas is going to win against Calgary. As I said, I have them in the parlay. Where do you guys see a potential upset brewing here on a Thursday evening? And then we'll put a bow on it. It's we're at the half hour mark, and I said if we went over a half an hour, we should all retire and quit our jobs and be be relegated. So where's the upset coming?
Don't sleep on Jake Oettinger if it's a low scoring series. I would say that I don't like that play for Calgary long term in the series. If they explode offensively, the series is probably over in game two. But yeah, I think there's a glimmer on the Dallas Stars. I think the Capitals have some mojo right now. I think that the Florida Panthers, with how good they were in the regular season, there is a lot of pressure. And they, you know, not to be a Debbie Downer, but they haven't won a playoff series since 1996. We always rag on the Maple Leafs, right? But they have to deliver. So I think there is probably a play on the Capitals. Not that I want the Panthers season to end. Believe me, I'd love to see them go on a deep run. But with the veteran savvy on Washington, don't rule it out.
Pete deep down hates the Florida Panthers. Florida Panthers. But how could I steer away from my strategy all season long, which I said, I think, like week two of this podcast, puck line Panthers. I think tonight they put it together. And Vitek Vanacek, how could I trust this guy? Okay, how could I trust Vanacek any further? So that's it. I think I handicapped all four. And then that's what I'm thinking tonight. That's what I think.
I think that's a theme of tonight's slate. How can I trust this guy? Pittsburgh and the Rangers, how can I trust Louis Domingue? Capitals, Panthers, how can I trust either guy? Predators and Avalanche, how can I trust the mascot who's playing for the Predator? Like, this is a theme. I'm looking puck line all day. I'm looking at overs today, guys.
And I know we talked sweeps last show. I mean, are the Avs going to be a sweep, Nick? Could Carolina be a sweep? Is there any value you're seeing to look ahead and predict the series outcome in the exact number of games in either of those two series?
I like Calgary still to sweep. I think Boston, as you mentioned, like, I don't think a team truly is in trouble. As I mentioned earlier, they got the better goaltender. Kachetkov played a handful of games in the league. I think they'll find a way to at least win one. Mm-hmm. I think Nashville's done. Famous last words. I think they're going to have a better effort in game two, but they don't have UC Saros, guys.
I would expect Boston to be able to figure out a way to win a game or so. Yeah. I don't see them winning this series. I don't want to overreact, but I think Carolina is, and I know they have the goaltending question marks, but I think they're pretty dialed in. And Roddy's, they've gone through some heartache in the playoffs, specifically against Boston. I think it's time for them to move on. I would say the sweep that is looming, and it's not a surprise, Colorado is playing at a level that is just the players they have. I mean, and the level they're playing at, and then you take Saros out of the mix, you see, I would expect Colorado to potentially sweep here. Although I do respect the players on Nashville. I do. And we have Yossi. I respect Duchesne. I respect these players. It's just Colorado is another level.
Yeah, and that's right. That's kind of like Matt Duchesne in a nutshell, kind of that he would score two goals revenge in that game against his former team, but they're both kind of garbage goals. We've been there before. But anyway, yeah, I do like Matt Duchesne as well. But yeah, and then wanted to touch on the Minnesota Wild. A nice response for them. We haven't talked about that series enough on the show today. But yeah, Minnesota, Kaprizov exploded. He has the flash and pizzazz of a superstar in the league. And I think that series will probably go seven when it's all said and done. It's very, very tight, even though both games have been lopsided so far. I think things will even out and there'll be a lot of value. You know, if you're going to bet on the game four and the game six, see who wins the other game and then take the other team probably.
I wanted to give props as well to my guy, Dean Evason. He didn't make things difficult. He went back to Marc-Andre Fleury, and I hope Craig Berube's listening because you go back to Billy Huso for game three. That's all I'll say in that series.
Yeah, amazing performance from Huso in game one, but you're only as good as your past game. So it's again, there's going to be a lot of ups and downs in that series, but both teams, and when we see that from Kaprizov, and we know that what Kevin Fiala, Matt Boldy haven't even had a point yet, in the playoffs so far, there's another level for the Wild to reach. And that's what we were talking about. Whoever gets out of this series could certainly contend with a team like Colorado over seven games.
Pete, it's a busy time in this season, trying to get through the final couple episodes of Ozark, Selling Sunset still on the docket. Man, oh man, it's a great time to be alive. And I'm just so happy the Stanley Cup playoffs are here, my dude.
We're talking about TV series when we have NHL, I'm sorry, Stanley Cup playoffs. I know, Nick, you had a little tutorial there on social media. It's not the NHL playoffs, and I almost said it. It's the Stanley Cup playoffs. But if we're talking TV shows, Apple Plus, we crashed. It's the story of how WeWork started and then fell apart. So there's your
noted
Bob. There's your Bob Bender television recommendation. Peter, it's time. I haven't said it in a while, but I'm happy to say it today. It's time for you to put a bow on the program. Put a bow on it right now, Peter.
Well, if you were listening to this show like 2-3 years ago, you know my favorite show is Better Call Saul, and it's back. Glad Bob Odenkirk is healthy and stuff after everything he went through. And I'm enjoying season six.
Great.
It's the final season. So
great show.
For Bobby B, Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, we'll be back at you for more playoff analysis next week. Definitely hit up Nick at the Golden Muzzy for his props and stuff over the weekend. And we'll see you on the other side, NHL Fantasy on Ice.